All right, once again, it's great to see everyone. We're very happy that you're here. I hope you had a good afternoon, and we're thankful to God for this opportunity to gather together as his people. There's not a better place to be in the entire world. If you would, our main study text is going to be in Galatians 5. We're going to look at the fruits of the Spirit, but I want to kind of set that up. And there is no PowerPoint this evening. And I want to just kind of start off with some questions and some thinking here before we get to that. And I actually want to look at it like this. I want to talk about a flag. I want to talk about a struggle. And I want to talk about fruit in that order, three main points. But just beginning with a straightforward question, you know, and that is, are you a servant of Jesus Christ or are you just a fan? Right? Most of us, don't mind Jesus making some minor changes in our lives, but Jesus wants to turn our lives upside down. So are you a servant or just a fan of his? Because there's a big difference. You know, fans don't mind him doing a little bit of touch-up work, but Jesus wants to do complete renovation. You know, fans think a little decorating is required, but Jesus wants to do a complete remodel, right? Fans want Jesus to inspire them, but Jesus wants to interfere with their lives, right? And have a life of results. And Jesus wants to impact your life, so in turn, you can then go impact the lives of others. And so I don't know if you think about that much, and I hope you do at least periodically, about the impact that you as a child of God make upon others. Now, when we lived in Thayer, Missouri, it wasn't a big town, but it was a railroad town. And it had some main railroad tracks running through it, and what they would do is, I think it was BNSF, they'd run empties all the way up to, I think, Wyoming, and come back fully loaded with coal and then make their way down to Memphis and I think on to New Orleans. And it was very interesting living in a town with so much railroad traffic. Besides the blowing of the horn at 2 a.m, you know, that kind of thing. You kind of got used to that. But what was very interesting is where we lived, you know, as the crow flies, it might have been maybe a quarter of a mile to the tracks, where the church building was, maybe a quarter of a mile to the tracks. And many times you could feel the train coming before the horn, right? It would make this rumble, especially when it's going south with a full load of coal. And so you knew the trains were coming by the rumble that it would make before it blast its horn at all hours of the day and the night. So I want you to think about it kind of like that. You know, sometimes we have people come into our lives and they just make a powerful impact. It's immediate. They rumble through and we see and hear and feel everything that they're about, and you just can't help but notice their presence. The thing is, you know, we do need people like that. I think it's great having people like that come in such a way and they just make a big impact upon us. Right, they're great faith builders. But sometimes, I think here's the issue with that. Sometimes when we're not thinking right, we think, wow, I could never be like that. Be a great speaker, not that charismatic, I'm not that personable, you know. And so, well, why even try? I think we kind of give into that because we don't believe we can make an impact like that. But I think sometimes the biggest impact that we have on the lives of those around us, it's not immediate and it's not as noticeable or even noticeable at all. We might never see the end results of the impact that we make. And so I want us to think about, and real quick, I know I said we're going to be in Galatians 5, but I want to read this interaction with Jesus and Nicodemus in John chapter 3. So let's think about this. You know, basically, you know, when we think about an impact that we make upon people, sometimes it's big and noticeable, sometimes it's not so much. Right? So let us think, number one, a flag here, because this is the best way that I understand this, and I want you to understand it in a very similar way, and I think it'll be helpful. So read this with me. John chapter 3, beginning of verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." Now here it is, verse 8. "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Now, the best way I understand this, and I've probably explained it like this before, is a flag, right? And if you're like me, you respect our flag, Old Glory, and you know, you go around and it's everywhere. I had to take mine down because it got all worn out. I have to get a new one. I love the flag. But lots of times we don't really notice the flag if it's not a windy day, right? We're just kind of used to it. But I tell you what, you know, when that wind blows in and that flag is unfurled and it's just standing up straight almost and it's flapping in the wind, if you're like me, you kind of pause and you're thankful and you're reminded, and it makes you a little bit reflective upon the blessings we have as citizens here. Now, we don't see the wind, of course, but we see the results of the wind. But I think that's a very powerful way how Jesus is talking to Nicodemus of how we understand the work of the Spirit, therefore the fruits of the Spirit, which we'll get into a little bit more here in just a moment. And so that's what Jesus is talking about here with Nicodemus, part of the point to him anyways. You can't see the Holy Spirit, but you can see the results of his works. Right? And here he's speaking about the change made in those. If we had time, we'd read a little bit further. But verses 25, 27, those who are born from above. Or in verse 5, those born of the water and the Spirit. Now, if you're here tonight and you haven't obeyed the gospel, you haven't been born of the water and the Spirit, we encourage you to do so. Right, that's the most important thing for you to do. But this lesson is mainly for those who have done that. Right, those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And so that's the imagery I want to start with for the first point. All right, now our second point. Now I'll go to Galatians chapter 5. So hopefully we're on the same page here. So Galatians chapter 5, so number two, struggle. Here's our struggle, and it is a struggle. And if you say it's not a struggle, I think you're fooling yourself, and I encourage you to go read 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. It's a struggle, all right? I struggle with it. I know we all struggle with it. So read a little bit with me. It is the scripture reading earlier, but I want to read just a little bit more here. So Galatians, the 5th chapter, beginning of verse 16. "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish," right? So there's a battle here. "But if it's conditional, you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are," so the results of the flesh, they're going to be seen, right? Well, Paul, what's that going to look like? Well, he tells us here. adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Right, so very similar to this conversation with Nicodemus in that sense, can be born of the water and the Spirit to enter the kingdom of God. Right, those who do these things will not. But, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. In the most basic definition, how do you answer that question? What is the fruit of the Spirit? Well, it's the manifestation of God through the Spirit in our lives, guided by His Word. It is that undeniable, right, natural product of the branch abiding in the vine. Right, John 15, 1 through 8. Right, Jesus is a vine, God is a vine dresser, the disciples are the branches, and if we are connected to the vine, allowing God to prune us, to clean us, right, to cut off those things that need to be cut off, a natural product of that is we're going to produce fruit. You don't have to beg the tree or the vine or whatever it is to produce fruit. It's just natural. And so think of it that way, right? It's us living out Christ in our lives to the world around us. It's just part of who we are. Right? It's us taking action concerning our faith. Right? James 2:20, faith without works is dead. And so, or we can think of it this way, what is fruit? Well, it's what you get from a tree or a vine that's alive and producing. Right? If an orange tree is dead, you're not going to get fruit from it. But if it's alive and it's mature and it's healthy, it's just going to produce. So what is the fruit of the Spirit here in verses 22 and 23, right? It's a Christian that produces something of value for God. Right? Now pause, and I think we need to understand this. This fruit here that he's talking about is for God, not for man, because God commands this fruit for himself. Now, we're the beneficiaries of that, this fruit that's produced for God and of God. But the fact of the matter is, I'll go over a couple pages there, Ephesians 2. The fact of the matter is, this is of God, this is for God, and this is a result of God in our lives. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So this fruit of the Spirit that we're talking about is of God, it is for God, and this is a result of God in our lives. Go over another page or so to Ephesians chapter 5. Right, and we see it emphasized again. So read verses 8 through 10 with me, Ephesians chapter 5. He says, for you were once in darkness, but now you are in the light. You see that? Walk as children of the light. And then the next verse, verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Right, so in a side note, which would be a great study in the future, is tying in the fruits of the Spirit and going by what's acceptable with the Lord. Right, that's a theme throughout Scripture. All the way back to Genesis 4 with Cain. You see it in Leviticus 1, Romans 12, 1 and 2, Hebrews 12. Right, it's about seeking God's standard, what's acceptable in His eyes. And that would be an interesting study to do for absolutely sure. But as we learned right here, we're to walk in a very particular way to have very particular results. And once our walk with the Lord, when we're walking with the Lord, we're going to do certain things and not do certain things. Right? And Colossians talks about this, right? To put off things and put on things. And even here in Ephesians, go to chapter 6, right? He talks about putting on the whole armor of God. So that's just a part of this walk. Right? When we're getting rid of things we need to get rid of, sinful, destructive things that once described us in darkness, right? We're getting rid of that, but now we're putting on these good things, right? Including the armor of God. And that's just part of our walk. Now, back to the struggle here. Right, okay, so we've obeyed the gospel of Jesus. Right, we've been born of the water, born of the Spirit. Maybe it was recently, maybe it was years ago. Right, everyone's different where you're at. You know, we're out there living our lives, right? We live our lives in Christ out there in a sinful, dark world. That's just the way it is. Right? It's a world filled with temptations, right? Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the prideful things of life. 1 John 2 and verse 16. Right? And we're out there. We all fall short of the glory of God. We all sin. Romans 3:23. We're trying to walk in the light as He's in the light. 1 John 1, 7. But we fall. We sin. We make mistakes. We fall short. And hopefully we are constantly testing ourselves. Remember the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians 13:5, right? Test yourself. See if Jesus is even in you. Right? And just the fact of the matter is, sometimes we do well and other times we don't. Right? That's just the way it is. Sometimes I glorify God with my actions and other times I fail miserably. So I test myself to see if, in fact, I am producing fruit for the Lord, right? And by my fruits I'll be known, right? We know that Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, beginning about verse 16. Listen, it's a struggle, but what I need to understand is that it's a maturing process. And I can't give up, right? And if I haven't produced the fruit that I ought to have produced by now, I can't give up. Maybe in the past you produced more fruit than you are now. And here's something I like us to remember quite often is, past failures do not have to be an indication of future results. Right? I failed in the past, I own up to it, I'm sorry for that, and I'm going to grow beyond that. I'm going to do better. But it is a struggle. Right, listen, Adam and Eve failed, Abraham failed, Moses failed, Elijah failed, King David failed, Peter failed, Paul failed, and so do we. But you know what they all have in common? They never gave up. Right, they got up, if you will, after that fall and kept moving in the right direction. By faith, they took action for the Lord, right? They produce. So, all right, number three this evening, let's talk about fruit. So go back to Galatians 5 here. I want you to look at verse 22. Now we're going to make some application here. Look at these fruits of the Spirit again. And maybe you failed in this first one, right? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Maybe start off with the very first one, love. Agape love, sacrificial love. You know, maybe that's where you failed. Maybe that's not what you're producing. Right? You're not producing that agape love in your Christian walk. Right? That's your struggle, let's say. Maybe all the people in your life know that's where you fail. They know you go to church. They know you're a Christian. But maybe even the people closest to you in your life, family members, maybe neighbors, maybe co-workers, they know that's where you failed in the past, and you're still failing. Right? First is, all right, I'm failing in that. I'm not making the impact that I ought to be making, reflecting the love of Christ to those around me. Now, I want you to think about, imagine the impact that you will make in the lives of those around you when they see you truly trying to better yourself in that agape love. Right? They truly see you trying to love your neighbor as yourself. Right? They truly see you growing more and more in loving God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Imagine that impact. Right? And I'm of the opinion of the more, you know, if you failed absolutely miserably in the past, and you're able to turn that around and do it the right way, you'll impact them even more than if you had it all figured out from the beginning. Right? And I think about David in Psalm 41:3, being in that pit. Right? So think of it like that. Think about the impact that you can make if that's the area that you failed in. Right? And especially, you know, in a small town, everybody knows your about your life and your past and your mistakes. Just think about the impact that you can make in whatever area that was that you were failing. You know, you want to talk about preaching Christ in your life, that's it right there. That'll be worth 1,000 sermons from any preacher, right? Seeing you make a turnaround in that area. Or maybe it's joy that you failed in. Right? I think you know, a good handful of Christians struggle with joy. Right? That internal decision, regardless of external circumstances, I think many times we live lives of woe was me, complaining, looking at the bad side of things. Right? Not having that joy. And that joy is an understanding that you belong to God, that you're going to heaven. Right? Maybe all the people around you, they've seen you fail in that, right? All they see from you is you're angry and you're sad and you're upset continually, right? Maybe that's what they see you failing at. And they're like, wow, this is a Christian? And you made a bad impact on them. Turn that around to what it ought to be and imagine the impact that you'll have in their life. Right now, they see you trying your best to live out the words of Jesus, right? Knowing that, you know, even if you have difficult circumstances in your life, but even, you know, you have that going on, they still see real Christian joy, right? Joy because of your knowledge, the fact that, like Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 16, right? They see joy in your life because you're not losing heart. They see that joy in your life, even though maybe your outward man is perishing. Right? And they might see you going through difficulties, but you did that measurement, that scaling that he talks about there. You're working for that eternal weight of glory. Right? And you can see where I'm going with this. Right? And these fruits of the Spirit here, whichever ones you struggle with, right? Whether it's love, you know, maybe you struggle with devotion to God and others, that sacrificial action, joy, the rejoicing, the gladness, right? The bliss of knowing you're going to heaven. What about peace? Right? The word for peace here is more speaking about our relationship with God and with others. Right? Maybe it's long-suffering. You know, maybe you're not patient. Maybe that's your struggle. Right? Are you impatient with people? Are you impatient with the events of your life? What about kindness, right? And this is a general attitude. Have you been rude to people? Unkind, short with people? Right? You're making a bad impact if you are. Turn that around. You imagine doing the opposite of that, and they're thinking, wow, this is that person that was rude and unkind and short with me. Right? You're making an impact. Goodness is the next one here. Do you allow things that are not good in your life, evil people, evil circumstances, sinful things, faithfulness, right, in your praise and your service and your worship, right? Skipping church, not studying, not having a prayer life. What about self-control? Do you lose control of your wants and your desires? Do people see that? Maybe lose control with foul language, outbursts of wrath. Right, turn that around, fix that, and imagine the impact that will have on the lives of those around you. And just think about that and what you can do and understand this is the fruits of the Spirit. Right? These are the results. Now you're going to see the Spirit, but that's how you see the results of the Spirit. You don't see the wind, you see the results of the wind. Right? And so this is all about a maturation process, regardless of how much you might have failed in the past. Right? You can turn that around and start making an impact. Right? And you're doing this for the glory of God. But you benefit from that, and those around you benefit from that, but you're doing it for the glory of God. And that's really what the fruits of the Spirit is all about. Right? Showing the work of the Spirit in your life, making an impact on the world around you, letting your light so shine that your Father in heaven is glorified. They won't physically see the Spirit of God in your life, but they'll definitely see the impact. An unknown writer once wrote, "Change is a funny thing. We are never quite sure what we are becoming or even why. Then one day we look at ourselves and wonder who we are and how we got that way. Only one thing about change remains constant. It is always painful." See, change can be scary, it can be hard, it can be difficult. But when that change is reflecting Christ in our lives, not only is it necessary, but it's also possible. And we can all make that change and glorify God. Now here's our conclusion. What I want to do is I want to highlight something real quick in chapter 6. All right, so what he does is he talks about the fruits of the Spirit, and of course the things contrary to it, the works of the flesh. And then he gives us some application. And I think I might have even done a sermon on this a couple years ago. Take root, sow and grow. Right, take root in verse 1, grow verses 2 through 5, and then sow verses 6 through 10 here. And so what he's going to do is he's going to give us 10 things for spiritual people to do. 10 things, real, practical, everyday things that we could do to show the fruits of the Spirit. Right? That we are somebody that wants to reflect Jesus to the world around us. So in a very practical way here, let's do that, and then the lesson is yours. He's going to really drive home this how-to portion of living out the fruits of the Spirit. And they fall under those three main things: take root, grow, and sow. So in verse 1, take root, this is an attitude of restoration for yourself and others. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourselves, lest you also be tempted. And then the grow portion, verses 2 through 5, verse 2, help others, right? Help bear their burdens, looking out to help others. And while you're lifting them up, you're going to lift yourself up also. Look at verse 3, be humble. Again, this is about a selfless attitude. And then in verse 4, he's basically saying, be honest with yourself. Right? That takes self-examination. Right? Are you bearing fruit? Right? Tying that back to the fruits of the Spirit. And then in verse 5, accept personal responsibility, for each one shall bear his own load. Right? So verse 1, take root. Verses 2 through 5, grow. And then this last part, so, beginning in verse 6, right? Support the work of the church, something very practical that you can do. Right? Let him who is taught the word share all good things with him who teaches. Right? Support the work of the Lord. Take some action. Help out of the work of the church. Get involved. Hey, you know what? We got something coming up Saturday that you can help the church. Right? The community giveaway. Right? Perfect. Right? We'll be waiting for you. Verse 7, right? Remember the law of sowing and reaping here. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Right? So this is a principle God has set in action since the very beginning of time. Actions and non-actions have consequences. Verse 8, sow to the Spirit. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Right? Sow to the Spirit. Plant seeds that result with spiritual results. And then in verse 9, don't get tired, don't grow weary, right, in doing good. See the big picture of God's work in your life. We know this passage well. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith. And finally, in verse 10, that last part, do good to all men. Do good to all men, and you know, again to emphasize that, because we're in this together. Right? We're all part of a family. So we're going to end with a question and then one verse in John chapter 15 and verse 8. Right? So the question is, will you allow Jesus to make an impact in your life so that then you can then go and make an impact in the lives of others? So Jesus says in John chapter 15 and verse 8, he says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." And so that's a decision we all have to make, to be determined to bear fruit. And like I said earlier, and here's the Lord's invitation, you're not going to bear fruit unless you're attached to the vine of Jesus Christ. And you're not going to bear fruit unless you allow the vine dresser to prune you, to clean you with his word. So where are you spiritually this evening? If you haven't been born of the water and the Spirit, if you haven't been washed in the blood of the Lamb, you're not attached to the vine of Jesus Christ. Right? So you need to obey the gospel, put on Christ in baptism with the response of faith. If you've done that and you've fallen away, right? The problem with not producing fruit for the Lord is at some point you will detach yourself from that vine. Now, you can deceive yourself that you think you're still attached, but you're not. Right? So that's going to take some self-examination. So maybe you've been honest and you realize you're not attached to the vine. And the good news is you can be reattached to the vine. So I want you to think about that also. If you need to be reconciled to God as a fallen away Christian, we'd love to help you with that. But whatever need you have spiritually, just let someone know, please, as we stand, as we sing.